just two guys slinging some bull. It's the Two Guys, One Mic Podcast. I'm back. On 1045theteam.com.
Get up off of that thing and dance to you better. Get up off of that thing and dance to you. Sing it now.
Oh, what is up, everybody? Welcome into the Two Guys, One Mic Podcast. My name is Joe Bianchino, hanging out with you right here on 1045theteam.com. Back, had a week off. Back, refreshed, ready to go, ready for some heated debates. And for said debates, I'm joined by Mr. Piers Bricks. Bricks, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Did not have a vacay, but still feeling pretty refreshed, I must say.
Yeah. Bricks, by the way, a man you can follow on Twitter at GameOnBricksy. You can follow me at JoeBianchino. And you can search and like our Facebook page, Two Guys, One Mic Podcast. Search it on Facebook. Use the numbers. But with, well, that was abrupt. Anyway.
Yeah.
I guess with that week off, man, I'm ready to get into a debate. So Jeremy Lin sucks.
See, I'm not even going to entertain that. It's ridiculous. And, you know, it's funny, though, because when you talk about Jeremy Lin, and obviously Jeremy Lin just, you know, left my beloved New York Knicks and, mm-hmm. and headed south to Houston. When you talk about Jeremy Lin, you know, everybody, if he's not great, the counter-argument to Jeremy Lin is always, well, he's not great. You know, so because he's not great, he sucks.
No, all right. So obviously, I was being a little facetious. I just think that the Knicks probably made the right call.
You keep hearing that.
To not match the ridiculous offer.
How is it ridiculous? It's not ridiculous. First of all, if you look at it, I understand, well, it's backload. You have to look at the finance. First of all, the amount of money that the New York Knicks would have made off of Jeremy Lin is absurd. They can pay the luxury tax. It's like the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees pay a luxury tax every year. Just an absorbent
Dude,
luxury tax.
You'd have
tax
been dropping $15 million on a guy you don't know if he's going to be any good or not. You don't know.
How do you not know that? You know that.
Dude, he's played 26 games. He hasn't even played a full season. Hasn't even played half a season.
Joby,
26 games.
When was Jeremy Lin bad in his entire playing career? When he went in California, basketball in California. When he went to California and won this high school championship, was he bad there?
Really?
When
really?
He was
we're gonna start chalking up high school resumes. Kwame Brown was a friggin'
diamonds player
in high school.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move past that.
When he went to Harvard and was a dominant player and beat some top ranked teams and was one of the best teams that Harvard ever had.
How about when he got cut by the Warriors and then cut by the Rockets?
That was breaking news. Jeremy Lin is good. okay, fine. So he gets cut. Well, here's a fact. He's undrafted. He's poorly recruited because people, generally speaking, and I don't want to sound malicious here or egregious. They're racist. They're racist against Jeremy Lin's. I'm not saying that everybody hates Asians, but the fact that Jeremy Lin is Asian American is the reason that he was overlooked
year after year in every scenario, and he still managed to persevere. I'm not saying he won't become a great player. I'm not saying he can't become a great player. I'm saying that right now you have 26 games worth of evidence, and you're gonna play, and you're gonna pay that man $15 million in his third year. 26 games.
First of all, you're not
in which he wasn't playing with Carmelo. He wasn't playing with Melo. And when Melo came back, didn't Jeremy Lin's numbers drop? Like, his play friggin' fell off the table?
Okay, so...
So now you wanted the Knicks...
That's Jeremy Lin's fault.
No, I'm not saying it's Jeremy Lin's
fault.
Carmelo
is supposed to be the greatest player ever. He's making $20 million.
I'm saying it's a fact of the X's and O's that if you put these two together, maybe it's not going to work. So now you're going to pay a superstar who your future is tied to in Melo, and you're going to pay $15 million to Jeremy Lin, to two guys who might not be able to play together? And I understand that was a small sample size, too, so maybe they learned to play with each other. But isn't that a risk to take?
All right, you're the New York Knicks
right
now. You lose Jeremy Lin, mm-hmm. who put 18-7 up as a starter.
Okay.
When he was playing... You got to imagine he's going to be perfectly fine. It's not supposed to be a huge knee injury. You got a healthy 23-year-old point guard. You let him go. You bring in an overweight 28-year-old in Raymond Felton, who's been around long enough. You know what Raymond Felton is. He averaged similar numbers to Jeremy Lin the one season that he was in the D'Antoni's offense. That's the most he's ever averaged by far. He's like an 11-6 guy in his career.
Okay, but you bring in Jason, saying that Jeremy Lin averaged all those things in the D'Antoni offense, and so now you don't know if
D'Antoni is going to be playing as well. Jeremy Lin was 23. He's young. He has a lot more upside than Raymond. Can we say that
he absolutely has more upside than Raymond Felton?
So you lose that upside.
I think you have more upside than Raymond
that,
Felton.
Exactly.
But still.
You lose that upside. You bring in Raymond Felton and a Jason Kidd, who was so happy to get a 3-year, $9 million deal that he went out and partied a bit too aggressively and smashed his car.
A bit too aggressively is stepping out onto the curb and vomiting.
Have you seen that picture?
Hella aggressively is getting carried to your car and then driving it into a tree.
It's tough to tell who was more smashed, Jason Kidd or Jason Kidd's SUV at the end of the night. But you can't tell me that this has been a successful offseason. It's been an absolute
failure. I'm not saying
failure.
It's been a successful offseason.
You
need
to retain Jeremy Lin.
I'm saying.
You have a 3-year window with these two guys. You added Marcus Camby, who's 38. You added Jason Kidd, who's 39. You added Kurt Thomas, who's 176 at last count, who played with the New York Knicks. He came. It was his second team. He was not drafted as a New York Knick. His second team in his third and fourth season was playing with Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing has since retired. Patrick Ewing has since left the team, went to play for Orlando, Seattle, retired, made the Hall of Fame, coached for the Rockets, coached for the Orlando Magic, and is trying to get a head coaching job. All of that has happened. Kurt Thomas is still in the league. Kurt Thomas is a million years old. That's what you've done.
Veteran.
You've added two crafty mediocre veteran point guards, one of which is ancient, the other one is fat, and you've gotten rid of the fan favorite, the guy with upside, the only legitimate facilitator, legitimate star
you
on this
can't
team.
Say, you can't say aside legitimate. From Carmelo Anthony. You can't say legitimate. Any, we don't know if he's legitimate yet.
He's a legitimate star.
He had 26.
He's a star.
All right, he's a star, but all right, it's New York. Can we dispel the thought that the New York Knicks need a gimmick to sell merchandise?
They have a gimmick. It's called Carmelo Anthony.
They have a star in Carmelo Anthony. Okay, they have a star athlete who any team would take right now. Any team.
Then good. Then give him away. I would rather trade him for parts and retain Jeremy Lin and
pay Jeremy Lin, a guy you have 20. You want to sign up right now to pay a guy who's played 26 games in the NBA $15 million 2 years from now?
Yeah, yes I do.
Have you learned nothing from Jason Bey as a Met fan?
If I learned nothing, Jason Bey.
He had a good season with the Red Sox, and the Mets swoop in and give him $700 billion, and he collapses because he's not that good a player.
Let me explain. So first of all, Jason Bey had a very healthy career in Pittsburgh. He's a multiple-time All-Star, has hit over 100 RBIs.
And he was not at all worth the money that the Mets put down
for him. No, and I didn't want him to get the money because he's at the end.
He had a great season with the Red Sox. You threw all sorts of money at him, and he fell apart. This is like in 1998, if the Yankees saw Shane Spencer, hit like 30 home runs in September and said, man, we got to give this guy $20 million a year. And then, oh yeah, he's Shane Spencer.
Okay, right. You got Shane Spencer. I understand the Spencers. I understand that he's Benny Ag, but he's not. First of all, those
guys.
Let me explain something to you. Those guys can't hit curveballs. Jeremy Lin's playing point guard in the NBA. Nobody's going to throw him a curve, and you realize, oh, you can't hit a curveball. He can go to his left, all right. He's not terrible.
All right. If anybody in
you can
anyone
that.
Worth defending
Listen, there
is, is just going to force him to his two, left, two and he's going to fall apart.
Two things I keep hearing. Not great to his left. Not a phenomenal shooter, although his shooting percentage was better than those, you know, the likes of a John Wall and a lot of other point guards in the NBA. And poor defense. What are the three things that are easy to fix? Your dribble, your shot, your D. All right? The guy has a knack for winning, which is an underrated talent. He does. He steps up in the moment.
Let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts on Tim Tebow? Does Tim Tebow have a knack for winning?
He does have a knack for winning.
Okay.
He can't throw a football. Jeremy Lin can dribble a basketball. Jeremy Lin can put a basketball in the basket. That's a fact. He can do it. I've seen him do it with my own eyes. Listen, but you're going to tell me that intangible. For years, you're a Giants fan. For years, there was a fact, and I often said that Eli Manning has the intangibles. He just doesn't have the tangibles. Now he got it. He used to throw ducks all the time. He couldn't throw a screen pass. But when it came down to the crunch, you know, the crunch, I'm looking back to the Denver Broncos game his rookie year. When it came down to crunch time, Eli Manning could have it.
You're willing to sign up right now to dramatically overpay a guy and hope that he gets to the point where you're not dramatically
underpaying him for the first two seasons.
Okay, I'm talking about the third year. And that point, if you're over the luxury tax, you're going to be in for so much money.
I overpaid for Eddie Curry for years. I overpaid for Jerome James.
Well, by all means, let's just keep making the same mistakes.
These guys are punks.
That's great.
These guys with punks with no work ethic and no knack for winning. Jeremy Lin is a fan favorite. He's a good guy. He's a good player. He's a hard worker. He's got a lot of upside.
By all means, let's just keep overpaying. It's been working for
talking about
guys,
you're bringing up Jason Bay. Jason Bay was out of his prime. The problem with Jason Bay, he would be worth 4 years, $66 million if we would have signed him when he was 26, when he was still a good player. We signed him when he's 31, 32, and he has a bad knee. That's why he wasn't worth it. Jeremy Lin's 23. He's in his prime. He hasn't even entered his prime. He was virtually a rookie.
You don't know what his prime's going to be.
You don't know what anybody's prime's going
to
be.
I understand that. So why are you going to sign up to give this guy that much money through 2 years from now?
Because he earned it.
He earned it in 26
starts,
games.
He earned it
by 26 games and shutting down a Time Warner and MSG dispute. That's it. He's earned $15 million 2 years from now.
Yep. He's certainly earned 5 years next year. $5 million next year.
I'm not arguing with those two. That's okay.
That's fine. But you
that.
Can't
That's
just
fine.
Ignore that. If you take the average, would you say that Jeremy Lin is worth roughly slightly over $8 million a year, which is what it comes down to? If you take
at this point, I don't know if he's worth that. I don't know.
Well, you take.
I have a sample size. That's what like
you take the risk for the money he's going to make you. Regardless, financially, it's not a risk at all. The only risk is the fact that it's going to affect your cap, and you're not going to be able to sign excess players. You're not going to be able to get the next Marcus Camby 3 years down the line. I don't know who that's going to be. It's probably going to be Jared Jeffries again.
But it's because bench players or that sort of thing never comes into play. Reserve,
you never want to build up your depth. That never happens. You know when they don't come into play?
When
you're not a relevant championship caliber team because you didn't sign an actual star point guard.
You think with Jeremy Lin this year, going into 2012, 2013, the Knicks are a legitimate championship contender.
They're certainly a lot better than they are right now.
You honestly think they're a championship contender with Jeremy Lin on their roster?
More so than they are right now, and that's the point, right? Is that not the point?
Well, yeah, but going from an eight seed to a seven seed isn't necessarily worth that, you know.
Fine, you know what? You save money, you don't sign this guy, and we'll sit here and battle for the 6th and 7th and 8th seed until Carmelo's deal winds up, and we'll probably max him out a second time. We got 3-year windows. You put the best pieces out there. We could get bench players. Bench players are great around a championship core. Jeremy Lin could have been that championship core. He's the best available option.
Could have been. But just because someone's a best available option doesn't mean that we need to throw a crap ton of money at him.
He's our guy.
That's
another thing. You know why the Yankees love Derek Jeter and hate Yankee fans love Derek Jeter and hate Alex Rodriguez? Because it's their guy. The Knicks guy is Jeremy Lin. He was undrafted, but he was picked up by the Rockets. He was picked up by Golden
State. No, you're absolutely right. He's a Knick guy.
He's our guy, and there's value in that the Knicks overlooked.
Does it bug you as a Knick fan that that Lin came out yesterday and said that he was hoping that the Knicks were going to sign it or going to match the offer and that his first choice would have been to stay in New York?
No. If I were Jeremy Lin, I wouldn't have said that because I'm a Rocket now. You know, I think that would isolate Rocket fans more than piss off Knick fans.